The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Super. Thank you so much, fellas. Take your Bible and go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, where the Bible says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And I want to speak tonight on why I am committed to the preaching, or to the teaching rather, and the preaching of the Bible. I had the privilege to come up under what I considered great men of God of their day. A Dr. Lee Robertson, a Dr. Tom Malone, Brother Roloff, Dr. Jack Hiles. Many men that I came up under that would mount the pulpit, and they would open a Bible, and they would preach. And can I tell you, when they preached, it just seemed like that all heaven came down. I would sit there as a young man, and I would hear these men preach, and there was just something that started stirring in my soul. There was something that just started, if you would please, an erection of spirituality to go a certain direction to be able to fulfill God's will in my life. You know, one message can oftentimes change a life forever. One message can oftentimes change a person's direction forever. And that's how come I believe that preachers need to stay with that which is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. I love the Bible. I love to be able to read it. I love to be able to soak it in. I love to be able to teach it, and I love to be able to preach it. I love to be able to have time to be able to sit and to be able to lap it up, and then all of a sudden, as you're beginning to read it, and as you begin to study it, all of a sudden, those gold nuggets just start popping out everywhere. And what a wonderful thing it is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be that tutor in your private world and in your private life to be able to direct you. Let me give you some reasons why I believe in the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Statement number one, I'm to teach and to preach the Word of God because God has commanded it. Because God has commanded it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, the Bible says, it says that the bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent. It says sober. It says of a good behavior. Then it says, and given to hospitality, apt to teach. So I think that a pastor is supposed to not only be able to get up and to preach the Bible, and what is preaching? Preaching is teaching set on fire. So I think a man of God is supposed to be able to get up, and he is supposed to be able to preach the Word of God with great vigor, with great energy, with great intent, with great desire, with great purpose, and with great direction. But at the very same time, I think a man of God is also supposed to be someone that is able, as a pastor of a church, to teach the Word of God. In Sunday school, we have structured our Sunday school program so that when you come to Sunday school, you have a very qualified teacher that teaches you the Word of God. Then on Sunday morning, many times I'll get up and I'll preach a message, and it's a message of encouragement, because sometimes that's the only message that a person will get the entire week to go by. They just need that encouragement a little bit more to be able to make it just a little bit farther. On Sunday night, most often, more than not, you'll get words of exhortation about, hey, you can do it, and you can serve God, and here's the way to serve God, and here's the way to be able to step out and obey God, and here's what God expects of us to be able to do. Then on Wednesday night, as an educational time again, as we take and we open the Bible, and as we're studying family values right now on Wednesday night, and I don't do it on Sunday morning, and I don't do it on Sunday night, but on Wednesday night I'll give out a handout where people can come and they can sit and they can listen, they can fill in blanks, and they can follow along so that they can go back and they can study and they can share it with their neighbor and they can share it with their friends. And may I say that a preacher is supposed to be able to get up and shell the corn. He's supposed to be able to get up and preach the Word of God, but yet he's also supposed to be able to get up and to teach the Word of God as well. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, preach the Word. He says, be instant, in season, out of season. I remember when I was ordained. I remember that night very much. When I was ordained into the gospel ministry, my pastor gave me a Bible that I keep in a very sacred place. And inside of that Bible, he wrote three words underneath his subscription, if you would please, or underneath his testimony that he wrote in there. And it said, "Preach the word." And I think still that you and I are still supposed to sit under that which is a godly preaching. We're not supposed to give that which is compelling to a passive heart. We're not supposed to make top priority to the feel-good type of message. And we're not supposed to preach, if you would please, to the people's needs as far as it being something that they feel, and or be a storyteller, or be somebody that's a comedian or a motivated type of a speaker. No, the Bible talks about how the man of God sometimes has to preach the word of God, and he warns against sin, and he gets up and he'll nail things that's very important for your spiritual safety, for your family's safety, and he'll get up and he'll preach that word of God, and he'll give warning, and sometimes it's unpleasant. Sometimes the man of God will get up and he will preach and he will feel like he needs to reprove or he needs to rebuke or yes, he does come along and he does exhort you to live for God, but sometimes there is that negative. Sometimes that preacher get up, and if you'll notice, it's two-thirds negative and only one-third positive, where the man of God gets up and he's supposed to be able to preach that word and to reprove and to rebuke. And then God says he's supposed to come back and he's supposed to exhort. By the way, you ought to love preaching more than you love drama.
Amen.
You ought to love preaching tonight more than you love singing. You ought to love preaching tonight more than you love maybe some type of theatrical type of thing that's taking place. And by the way, are you listening to me? A lot of churches are getting off on the wrong foot. They got the praise and worship, and they've got all this CCM type of stuff. And I'm telling you, they're heading down the wrong path, and they're taken away from that which is the preaching of the Word of God. May Parkside Baptist Church always be a place of old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. Can I say tonight, the Bible says to preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. That means that you're supposed to be ready. If you're a young man tonight and God has called you to preach, you ought to be able to preach at the drop of the hat and drop the hat. You ought to be able. I remember when Jonathan surrendered to preach, my oldest boy that's on staff here. I remember when he surrendered to preach. I said, "Wonderful, son. How old were you when you surrendered? Do you remember?" 9 years old. He said, "Daddy, I surrendered to preach." I said, "Wonderful. Guess what? You'll be able to start that immediately, and I'll put you up and let you start to preach your testimony, and I'll put you up there and let you start." And I started him when he was 9 years old. And he's been preaching ever since. You say, "Well, I can't start preaching until I go to Bible college." Who says? I love it when our children get up on a soul winning bus on a Thursday night and they'll begin to open the Bible and they'll preach. I love it in young fundamentalists where they have opportunity to preach. I love it when they get up and, hey, I'm telling you, just because you're a young person doesn't mean that you're not supposed to exercise the call of God in your life. You get up and you do what you are supposed to do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "For the time will come." Now, here is Paul, and he's talking to young Timothy, and he adds some prophetic warning here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 3, he said, "For the time," it says, "will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But the Bible says that after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Look what it says in verse 4. "And they shall turn," it says, "away," it says, "their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." Now, wait a minute. Did you know we see that in our day? How many young people would rather stay home and play a video game than to come to old-fashioned preaching? How many young people would like to go play soccer somewhere tonight instead of coming to old-fashioned preaching? By the way, what you elevate in your young people's lives is what they're going to migrate to. I would rather my young person migrate to that which is spiritual than to go the other direction. What am I saying tonight? If you want them to be on fire, you get them around fire. You want them to be excited about God, you get them to a place where there's excitement going on. Most teenagers are like the bugs that's on the wall. They will change the colors and they will become environmental. They will become according to their environment. I'm saying tonight, we need some old-fashioned preaching. We need some young men that's going to rise up and preach. We need some young adults that's going to rise up and preach. Don't let the fire go out. I'm saying tonight, understand what Paul is trying to do to Timothy. Paul is trying to help him to understand that the people don't need that give me the theology, if you would please, that tickles my ears. They don't need that. By the way, preaching sometimes will make people mad. Sometimes preaching gets pretty personal. The preacher will throw it out there and the Holy Ghost of God makes it very personal. Someone may say, well, it sounded like you were preaching directly at me. Can I tell you tonight, that's the Holy Ghost of God. When all of a sudden the preacher, come on now, somebody said if you throw a stone into a crowd of dogs, the one that you hit normally yaps the loudest. Well, isn't that true? Now, can I say tonight that that old-fashioned preaching will change your life? Now, why will it do that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, the Bible says, and I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. As a young person gets up to preach, many times it will put them on edge. They have to study just a little bit more. Because after all, they do want to make sure that what they're preaching is Bible. So it puts them under pressure a little bit. I thank God for every businessman that we have in our church. I thank God for every nurse, every doctor we've got. I thank God for every person that works in a law firm office. I thank God for those that work in factories. I thank God for those that get out there and they work and they own their own businesses or they work in a business. I thank God for those that work with their hands and those that work with their minds and those that are trying to develop a mind in which to work. Boy, I thank God for all that. But can I say tonight, please do not justify yourself in not obeying the Word of God. We don't need a generation of lazy Christians. We need a generation that's going to rise up and do what God says to do. Brother Hatch was a dear friend, and the last couple years of his life, we had the privilege to meet up at different conferences along the way, and I remember Ruby Hatch telling me that I remember when Carl got saved, he could not even read. But that didn't stop him. He decided that God was going to be able to use him, and he rose up, and he decided to allow God to work through his life, and he was somebody that was a person that could teach and a person that could preach, and he took that very seriously because God had called him, and God had placed a personal command upon his life, and God used him, and I saw people of great wealth that came to know Christ as Savior, and you say, well, wait a minute, but he wasn't elaborate with his voice. No, but he was a yielded man. It's not a matter of how much you know, it's how much you give of what you know. Statement number one, I'm to teach and to preach the Word of God as God has given me that personal call and that personal command. Statement number two, I am to be faithful in preaching in season and out of season. By the way, every preacher is to be. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says to preach the word. It says to be instant, in season, out of season. It's a never-ending task. It's a task, if you would please, of rising up and preaching the word in every season. It's a task, if you would please, preaching it when it's popular and preaching it when it's not popular. It's a task of preaching, and it gives the idea here of the urgency of getting up and making sure that you're eager to be able to give the Word of God. Now, can I help you to help your pastor a little bit? When a preacher gets up and he studies deep and he tries to give it to you, then take it well. Take it well. So how can I not take it well? You cannot take it well by playing on your cell phone when the preacher preaches. You say, you're on a rabbit trail. I just started. Let me follow my trail. You cannot take it well by talking when the preacher's preaching. You cannot take it well when all of a sudden the preacher says something and he's running down your path and you roll your eyes. I hope they get stuck. You do not take it well when all of a sudden the preacher's preaching and you get nervous and you start biting your wife's fingernails. You do not take it well when the preacher's up here preaching and all of a sudden you get so antsy, you got to get up and go out to the bathroom 5 times. But may I tell you, we have speakers in the bathroom too. A couple months ago, there was a man got under conviction in our church. This is funny. Man got under conviction in our church, and God was just working all over him. And he said, I got to get out of here. So he shot out the back door, and he went to the bathroom, closed himself in one of those stalls. And all of a sudden, the voice is coming over the speaker, and he says, he's in here too. May I say tonight, I'm commanded to preach that which is the Word of God, and I'm supposed to do it faithful. Let me be faithful. Let me be able to rise up and be instant in season and out of season. Jeremiah could not hold it within his bones, and Jeremiah said that the Word of God was like a fire in my bones. May I say tonight, you want to help the man of God as the man of God preaches, then you sit up and you listen and you pay attention and you don't let anything distract you. And deacons, you help me, and ushers, you help me. When somebody goes out and you let them in, set them down in the back. Don't let them trot all the way down to the front and get the distraction of everybody else. I'm saying tonight, let's give attention. Let's get back to the priority. Let's get back to the Word of God that changes people's lives. I believe with all my heart that the Dallas metro area needs old-fashioned preaching, let alone preaching. Somebody stands up and cries aloud and spares not, and blows the trumpet and preaches the way it's supposed to be. And can I tell you tonight, that's the type of generation of young men that we want to raise up, and that's the type of young people we're trying to produce at Lone Star Baptist College. Why? What's going to save America is preaching. I'm saying tonight that I want to be faithful to preach it in season and out of season. Statement number 3, I am supposed to reprove. As a pastor, now by the way, don't take it personal. Well, you know, he climbed all over me tonight. Well, if you would have been out of the way, I wouldn't even touched you. Somebody told Billy Sunday one time, he said, man, he said, I'm like a cat. And he said, you're preaching, and he said, as you're preaching, he said, it makes my fur stand up. He said, what do you think I ought to do about that? He said, well, if you're pretending to be a cat, turn your cat around. Well, you didn't get that one. I remember being at youth camps, Brother Jovi, when God would speak. I remember the first time I heard God ever speak to my heart as a teenager. I never forget that night. I mean, God, at a youth camp, I'm talking about not the first time God ever spoke to my heart through preaching, but I mean, at a youth camp where God spoke to my heart during preaching first time. I never forget that night. I was at a youth camp in Millers, Maryland, and boy, there was preaching going on that night. And all of a sudden, the preacher started getting on rock music, telling about how ungodly it was and telling how it would corrupt the soul and destroy the mind, and before you know it, your heart's not a heart for the Lord Jesus anymore. And boy, I was sitting there, and I had all sorts of music inside my closet at home. And he was plowing deep, coming up wide, and hitting everything he could hit. And I'm sitting there just blown away. And I thought, how does he know what I got in my closet? He has never been in my house before. How does he know what I've got in my closet? But that was the sweet Holy Spirit of God dealing with me that night. Boy, I thank God for the liberality of being able to sit underneath men that were not afraid to preach against sin. That saved my life. And I remember him preaching that night about rock and roll music. And boy, I tell you, I went home and man, he laid me out. He cut me open. It was terrible. There's blood everywhere. I go home that night, and this is back in the day when you had 8-tracks. How many remember the 8-tracks? Remember the 8-tracks? Yeah, that was back in the day when you had 8-tracks. And I went in there and I got those 8-tracks, and boy, I remember the songs on those things, and I remember I talked about rebelling against mom and daddy and about doing drugs and all. I mean, nothing that was Christian. All fleshly, all wicked, all birthed out of hell. I remember that. Boy, I remember getting those 8-tracks and taking them into that old metal trash can, taking a sledgehammer, and Brother Acosta, taking that sledgehammer with the blunt end, the metal end being down here, and taking that sledgehammer and just pounding those things. My brother came out and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Watch." He said, "That's money. If you don't want them, sell them." What? I said, "No, I can't. I don't want to corrupt somebody else." But I kept one. Brother Nash, it was my favorite. Which one? Is also Brother Palmore's favorite. Kept one. Kept it up in the closet, and I would go back in, Brother Stead, and I'd open the door from time to time, and I was so tempted just to get it out, plug it in, listen to it, and I would. Brady, I'd get it down, I'd get ready to plug it in, push the button, and I thought, "Oh, I can't push that button, this is not right." So I'd pull it back out. I exercised that way for weeks. For weeks, until finally I said, "Look, this is just not worth it." I took it out there, I put it in the can. The others had already been taken away. Here comes my brother. "What are you doing now?" I said, "I got one left." He said, "You're nuts." I said, "Yeah." I looked at it. Man, it was so hard. We've been friends for many years. I was going to feel the pain. It was going to hurt deep down inside. Took everything I had to be able to convince myself that I would not pick it up and cradle it and love it and listen to it one more time. And I looked up to heaven. I said, "Dear God, please help me." And I took that thing and went like that. When I did, man, there was a peace. You know why there was a peace? Because I was free. There's just something about being free. There's something about giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about full surrender. I'm not talking about being partially surrendered. I'm not talking about just giving God a little bit. I'm talking about being surrendered, lock, stock, and barrel, and giving God everything that you've got and surrendering your all to Christ. Can I tell you, that night in that sermon, I got reproved, and I got rebuked, and I went home, and I did not chew out the preacher. I didn't go home and get the picture of the evangelist and put it on the wall and grab my unholy darts to see which eyeball I could hit. I didn't do that. I knew he was right. I knew things were not right. By the way, come on. You know when you're right. You know inside of your heart when things are right. You know that. Some of you boys sneaking around and disobeying your parents. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Trying to get away with it because you think it's cool. It's not cool. It's wicked. Some of you boys and girls sneaking around holding hands and pretending that you're married when you're not. It's wrong. Hey, I'm saying tonight, sometimes the preacher's got to get up, and sometimes the preacher has to be able to preach and to rebuke and to reprove. He is supposed to do that, and what we're supposed to do is to take it and step up to the plate and surrender to do what God would have us to do. One message, one preacher, one summer night changed my life for all eternity. That's why we're supposed to give attention to preaching. That's why preaching's better than making money. Oh, I'm not saying, please don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say tonight. Please don't do this, because you'll misread me if you do. I'm not saying that I'm a good preacher. I'm sure that there's many, many a fellow that could stand behind a pulpit. Boy, they can just flat out preach. I'm not saying you got a good preacher. But I am saying tonight, you got a perfect book. And I am saying tonight, with this perfect book, is you get to hear a different array of preachers that we bring across this pulpit. If you would just let that Word of God, just let that Word of God, just let that Word of God have preeminence in your soul. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, it'll save you. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your children. It'll help you to rise up and be everything that you're supposed to be. And I'm telling you tonight, you ought to be putting, as a daddy, great emphasis on preaching. You ought to be putting, as a mama, great emphasis on preaching. Why? That Word of God will change somebody forever. Let me give you this and I'm done. I cannot compromise under difficult times. I can't do that. By the way, I shouldn't do that. May I say, you should not do that. You say, well, all the other churches in America are heading this direction. Then let it be said tonight that we'll stay by the book. Amen. Let it be said tonight that we'll preach the book. Let it be said tonight that we'll not have a compromising type of bone in our body, but we'll stay to that which is the Bible and be able to direct our lives according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, there's going to come a time when people say, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know, it's funny, because people look at our young people, and I'm so proud of you parents steering your young people the right direction. Man, I'm so proud of you young people that mom and daddy's not here, but you come on your own, and man, you dress up for church, and you look sharp, and you make church as important as it ought to be. Can I tell you tonight, I'm very proud of you. But can I also tell you tonight that people like our product? They do. I visit homes, and they say, boy, you know, I've not seen a church like that in years. I said, that's great. Why don't you come back? And here's what they say. They say, well, it's probably more than what I can handle. Then I think you ought to change the way you handle it. Can I tell you tonight that we're going the right direction? May I emphasize that tonight? We're going the right direction. Can I tell you just one more time tonight? We're going the right direction. Now, so what we need to understand is, when the Bible says here, there is going to be a time when they will come. A time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves. Heap, they're going to heap to themselves. Well, I like him because in the pulpit he smiles all the time. And he makes people sneeze when he smiles. I like him because when he gets up, it's just, God bless you. The love of God. Just praying God will give you all. Touch the television. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell me more about that. I like to hear that. Woo! Boy, I like to hear that preacher because he tells funny stories. He makes me roll. Boy, I like to hear that guy because after all, he's one of these motivational speakers, and when you go to hear him, he's just so motivational and inspirational. When you leave there, you just feel good about yourself. Can I tell you tonight, when you leave church, more times than not, you ought not be feeling good about yourself. Now, I'm not a hard nose. Don't misinterpret my message tonight. If this is the only message you ever heard me preach, then I'm probably a hard nose. But I'm saying tonight this. There has to come a time when the preacher gets up. But by the way, watch me. Here we go. There's a bunch of you up here. Let's start here. Come up. Just follow me. And you follow him. And then you follow him. Watch this. Okay, watch this. Right? Come on. Follow me. Here we go. Row after row. Come on. Follow. Here we go. Whoever they're following, they're going to be like. Now, I'm not saying I've got all my act together. I'm not saying you got a perfect preacher tonight. I'm not saying you got a perfect man of God tonight. But I'm saying they're going to follow somebody. Hey, I'd much rather them follow a preacher. I'd much rather them get under old-fashioned preaching than to follow a rock and roll crowd or to follow somebody that's a drug addict tonight. These boys right here, they're worth salvaging. Your kids tonight, they're worth salvaging. Somebody's got to rise. Somebody's got to do something. Thank God for preaching. So don't get mad at that. Well, you said, well, I tell you what, I don't think I'll ever come back here. That's okay. What type of kid are you going to turn out? It's all right. Go to your stinking liberal church that has the contemporary Christian music. What type of kid are you going to turn out? Go ahead. Go to a church that doesn't have a bus ministry. Hey! Go to a church where they don't emphasize soul winning. Go to a church where they've got lower standards and the kids come to church in shorts and flip-flops and girls come to church in halter tops like they're going down to some type of wicked type of amusement place. Go ahead. Go to that type of church. Let's see just what your kid turns out to be. Well, you say, well, I tell you what, you know, the church, thank you, fellas, be seated. Well, the church here, the standards are too high. I'd rather go to a church where the standards are higher than me than lower than me. I can name church after church over the years that compromise. I get on their websites. I look at their websites. I want to see what their kids are dressing like on youth activities. I want to see what their groups are dressed like that's singing behind the pulpits. So why are you doing that? I'm nosy. So we don't have a perfect church. I know. I was going to say that's because you're here, but but you'll take that personal and get insulted and leave. So we don't have a perfect church. It's because the devil's here. And the flesh is real. You ever notice in your Bible, the Bible says that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. I told my kids when I became pastor here, I said, look, devil's going to do everything he can to get me discouraged. I promise you, it's going to happen. And if he can't get me discouraged, he'll try and get your mama. And if he can't get your mama discouraged, he's going to come after you. But somewhere along the line, the devil's going to attack her family. I said, you better be aware of it. Because it's going to come from your friends. It's going to come from people that you put your trust in. It's going to come from people that say, I love you. It's going to come. Because if the devil can knock the pastor out, he gets the whole thing. He gets the whole thing. I mean, come on. Somebody says, well, tell you what, I was the pastor. Somebody said this recently. They said, man, I wish I pastored a church the size that you pastor. No, you don't. You have no idea. No, you don't. There's more responsibility. Just recently, I told Brother Crutcher, former pastor, how many years, Doc?
16.
How many years?
7 years.
7 years. These two men pastoring, has pastored before on the pastoral staff. I said, look, you got to help me. I got dear people I love in this church. And it's not right that they have to stand in line for 3 weeks to get an appointment with a pastor. It's not right. There's something not right about that. And believe me, you don't know how much I love you. You have no earthly idea how much I love you. I mean, I'll sacrifice. I'll stay up late. I'll cry with you about your burdens. I'll counsel you. I'll give my life's energy for you. But then I got to thinking, I can't necessarily get to everybody. It's not fair. So I turned to Brother Crutcher and I turned to Brother Butler and I said, you know, you guys have pastoral experience, and I mean, there's only so many principles in the Bible. You can't steer too many people wrong. The Bible's the Bible. And so I said, would you mind offering yourself to also give counsel to people that I love? I trust you. Would you be willing to do something like that? Now, I did that because there are the two guys on staff that do have pastoral experience. And they said, well, yes, we would. So I've given them days to be able to counsel people. Now, why? Well, it's because you don't love me, preacher. No, it's because I love you more. Can I tell you, listen, please. Here's what the Bible teaches. There's going to be times when people will heap to themselves. They're going to go to this conference after this conference to hear this motivational, inspirational type of speaker that never one time uses the Word of God, that never one time points them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they walk in this feel me good type of environment and they walk out saying, yes, boy, wasn't that so good? Yet there was no power to change them. It was just a thought. The Bible says, and they shall turn away, it says, their ears from the truth. And they shall be turned onto fables. Here's what I'm afraid of in America today. We try to live in a fairy tale amusement mental level. That's our mentality. Well, you know, I went to that church and I felt good. Because I felt good. I knew that's where God wanted me because, I mean, after all, whoo, the feeling hit me. Yeah. You put too much espresso in your coffee is what you did. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's getting back to the Bible. It's letting God be God. You know why so many elections are so tainted? Because people do not vote on principle. They vote on a personality that they like. Now, I do hope that maybe some of you, at least one or two, like my personality. But can I say, the Bible still should be true. We had Brother in Dallas. How many heard Brother in Dallas last Sunday? Sunday morning, Sunday. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? He got up and he spoke, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pay extra attention because I might not understand all that he says. And man, he did such a wonderful job. I understood everything. You know, and he preached, and man, he walked back and forth, and I thought, man, that's Brother Wells in brown skin. He did a good job. And can I tell you, by God's good grace and through the Lord leading, we'll only have the best that will preach in our pulpit. People that will love you, people that will help you, people that will direct you, people that will give you the good word of God. And man, can I tell you what a future we have. But it's going to be all because of that word of God. I used to go hear Brother Hiles. I love to hear Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles would get up and preach. We'd all stand up. Somebody comes to our chapel, preaching chapel. We. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because they're preaching that Bible. I had a pastor come to me, and he preached in our chapel, and I met with him like I do with most of the pastors that come and preach in our Bible college, and met in the office, and he said, "Preacher, I've just gone through a very tumultuous time in my church. Man, it's hard right now." I said, "Why don't we do this? I sure do love you. I'm glad you're here." And I told this dear brother, I said, "If you don't want to preach today, man, I totally understand. I'll get one of the staff guys to preach. You and I will go out. We'll drink coffee together. We'll spend time. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But I know what it's like to go through rough times. Maybe you just need a friend." And he said, "No, I came here to preach. I'm going to preach." I said, "Well, let's pray together." And we prayed, and tears was coming down his cheek. And he said, "Oh, I needed that so much." Then he walked in that chapel service. And all of a sudden, our young people stood up as he entered into the pulpit, and they started to clap. And I watched something change. It was like somebody does believe in me. Somebody does love me. Somebody is there to encourage me. After he got done preaching, I went to my office and we sat down and talked a little bit about the problem. And I said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm doing great." I said, "Why are you doing great?" He said, "Preacher, you don't know." He said, "With the problem I was going through in my church," he said, "I thought nobody cared. I thought, man, it was all coming to an end." He said, "But those young preachers," Amen. He said, "the hope of tomorrow," Amen. "Looked at me like I was somebody." Amen. "And they stood up and they clapped for me." And he said, "I was getting ready to quit. I was getting ready to throw in the towel, but no more. No more. I'm going to go back and I'm going to give it everything I've got." Preaching changes lives. We had Brother Dallas to preach in our chapel, our college chapel, that is. And he told about his daughter and how they'd gone through a tremendous time. And the doctors had mis-evaluated I do believe. And when they went to examine Mrs. in Dallas, they could not find the baby. And they said, well, the baby's gone. You know, it's gone. Said, you pay us 10,000 pesos and we'll take care of the problem. And they didn't have 10,000 pesos. And they came back just 2 weeks later and the doctors misevaluated everything and said, the baby's there. You know, sometimes you go through problems in your life that you don't understand and God is putting you on hold just to teach you. Just to teach you. And can I tell you, it's those times in your life when you walk down into the back 40 of an acreage and you just walk and pray. It's those times in your life when you don't really understand everything and you just get alone with your Heavenly Father. And you say, God, I need you more today than I ever needed you before. Then when you come to church and Brother Palmer gets up and he leads that singing, he's got that smile. These young people get up or older people get up and they hold a mic and they sing for God's glory. Then preacher gets up and he opens the book. And God begins to change a life. Don't miss out on preaching. Keep it priority. Don't chase the almighty dollar. Keep it priority. Keep God first in the center of your heart, the center of your home. Keep it priority.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.